From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 22nd day of August, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Closer to the bottom of the hour, the folks at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear from Emerson Nafziger, University of Illinois agronomist, about those tipped back years across the state. It all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, the futures finished the day like this. September contract in the soft red winter wheat pit at $8.65 and a half, 31 3/4 lower. December futures, $8.90 and a half, down 31 3/4 as well. And the March contract down 31 3/4 at $9.15. Kansas City hard red winter wheat settled at $9 even, 28 lower. September corn futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, $5.86 and a half, 11 1/4 lower. December down 11 cents at $6.06 and a half. And the March futures, $6.25 3/4, down 11 1/4. May contract at $6.37 3/4, down 10 3/4. September soybean futures today, $13.21, down 20 cents. November at $13.27, down 21. And January futures, $13.44 and a half, down 20 3/4. March contract at $13.58 and a quarter, down 20 3/4 for the soybeans. September bean meal at $3.60.30, up $2.60. September bean oil at $54.15, down $1.41. August live cattle futures from the CME Group's Mercantile Exchange side, $101.85, 40 cents higher for the livestock. October futures live cattle at 52 1/2 cents lower, $105.77 and a half. August feeder cattle at 112.85, 2 1/2 higher. September's at 112.95, up 27 1/2. And the October lean hogs today settled at 73.75, $1.02 1/2 cents lower for the afternoon. December at 74.10, down 22 1/2 cents. A quick reminder that we'll be at the Farm Progress Show Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, and we'll broadcast this program live. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the U of I. Here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. Nearby October crude oil futures are trading at $114.60 a barrel, down $6.58. November futures, meanwhile, are up $5.69 at $121.72. Ethanol at $2.34, 5 8/10 lower. Natural gas at $7.84 and 4/10, down 40 8/10. And the RBOB at $2.86 and 3/10, 18 1/10 lower. September heating oil at $3.13, 17 cents lower. Propane at $1.68, down or rather up a dime. And the August gold futures are trading at $8.27.40, down $5.60 a troy ounce. Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,605, is just about 175 points higher on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar is currently trading at 76.80, and that makes it 0.78 higher. The CRB index at 396.66 is down for the afternoon, 9.26 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Ed Kieser. He says tonight it'll be partly to mostly cloudy across Illinois and Indiana with a few scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Lows this evening will range from 67 to 72. And then tomorrow in northern and west central parts of Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers, a thunderstorm. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sunshine, very warm and humid, a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially late in the day. Highs tomorrow will range from 84 in northwestern Illinois to 92 in the far southeastern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says the impact of Fay on our weather will only be slow to progress a cold front as it pushes southward through Illinois and Indiana over the weekend. Drier and less humid weather expected early next week. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities, will join us in a moment to take a look at the agricultural futures and the cattle on feed report. The numbers like this for the cattle on feed released at 2 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. On feed at 96%. Average trade guess was at 96.4, placed in July at 103. Average guess at 107.1 and marketed in July at 102, and that's within the trade range and very close to the average trade guess at 102.1. Good afternoon to you, Mike. How are things in West Lafayette, Indiana today?
We're very happy. They're wet, Todd. We needed a really nice rain, and we've been getting one about all day long, so we're very thankful for
That'll probably make your compadre, who also happens to be a farmer, Chuck Shelby, happy as he heads out to the Farm Progress Show to join us next week.
Yeah, he and Sherman are both coming out, so. So good luck to you. I hope you sign up a lot of people. Have great shows out there.
Yeah, Dave Dickey and those guys will be in the AgriGold tent on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, putting on four programs a day. Jackie Vanks will be along with them. Dan Zwicker will be there. John Odius, I know, is on the list. Jerry Gilden, is that right? North American Risk Management Services. I've forgotten the last name.
Right.
We'll be along just a whole slew of folks in the AgriGold tent four times a day. And this program will air live from the Iowa State Extension tent from 206 to 236 each of those days, too. So we'll be really busy while we're out there. Don't know that we'll see a lot of the show, but I'm hopeful that we'll meet a lot of Iowa and Minnesota and Nebraska farmers and a few Illinois and Indiana farmers that make the trek to the Farm Progress Show next week. And they'll probably ask us about the marketplace and want to know what your take is on how things went with the cattle on feed report. And then if you could just zip right into the futures markets for the day.
Didn't mind the cattle on feed report at all, Todd. The placements came in at 102. That was on the bottom end of the estimates. And the estimates for placements were all over the place, 101.5 to all the way up to 117%. So a 102 number, very nice to see. The on feed numbers at the low end and the marketing's number at the high end said that we aren't putting a ton on feed and are keeping a ton on feed, and we're shipping them out, and the marketing's and the demand's pretty good. So we were looking for a friendly report to turn maybe the attention back away from the negative side after this semi-annual report came out earlier this week. Looks like to us maybe we got one. So I think you're probably going to have a 50 to 75 cent higher market call come Monday morning off this report. But as far as the grains, not a surprising day. Given that we did see the outside markets give back gains, led by the dollar strength, led by talk that OPEC is going to increase some more oil production in the last part of August, early part of September. And obviously the big thing in the micro sector and something that the Pro Farmer Tour brought out all week long was we need rain, we need rain. So it wasn't a surprise to see the market correct here. Didn't do any technical damage. Dees wheat stayed above 890. Dees corn stayed above that 599 level, and November beans still have good support all the way down to about $13.05, $13 even. Probably the biggest highlight on the grains today was the meal. It really helped keep the beans from getting too ugly, I suspect, because bean oil was getting hit by the energies, but the meal came back late in the day and rallied. I called a meal broker and crush trader I know up there and talked to her and said, is this the tight cash meal market coming out and the tight bean market coming out in the cash? And she said, you bet, we see these basis levels jumping. And indeed, you've got Gulf basis now running 75 to 90 over for the first half of August down in the Gulf for beans. So the meal really came through for us today and probably lessened the downside in the trade here today.
It's probably important. There are a couple of things. One, I read these outside markets, and I thought it was awfully odd that we had a $6 or $7 loss in the nearby crude, and we were managing a $5.5 gain in the November. That gain was from yesterday. It did not trade today, so I was picking up a trade from yesterday on that one. So we'll just go with a $6.58 loss in the crude oil, and that, from what you've told us, has managed to push things down a bit in the grains and the oil seeds, but you saw some real strength in the bean meal. When we look at the weekly trades, while we were down in the grains and the oil seeds today, The weekly trade was up more than a dollar for the soybeans. Corn futures were up 50 cents, and the wheat was up 30 to 40 cents today, too.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where producers would be smart, especially on retracements back up, to get some hedges in place, because we are going to have a corn and bean crop, and it's like I talked to a trader again after the close and got their feel for what we were looking at on Sunday night, and they said this crude break of $6.5+ probably didn't show up in the grain trade because, we weren't down that much, and, B, it just didn't seem like the grains wanted to go down too much. And I feel pretty strongly that that's probably because the grain traders are waiting to see what the rain actually is, because they know it's flip or fly. Either we're going to cut production significantly or stabilize and maybe increase production a little bit just based upon the next 7 days of rainfall. It's really to that point. I was struck when we did our meetings this weekend or this week earlier in Jacksonville, Illinois, and then drove over in the evening and did another one in Tuscola, Illinois. I was very struck by the corn and beans and how far behind they were in the nitrogen loss, especially between Decatur and Tuscola. And as you got within 10, 15 miles of Tuscola there on 36, things started to improve pretty dramatically. But you could see a very serious problem brewing if we didn't get rains in the central Illinois, central Indiana areas here in the next 10 days. And I think the grain traders are very, very well aware of that. So I suspect that trader who was talking about the weaker crude is going to be right, that we could be down substantially, or at least that's their thought, we could be down substantially Sunday night, especially if the rains are still coming next week.
What are your suggestions then, given that we really don't know what the crop is at this point yet? I guess we have USDA's guess at 155. Most are thinking that's probably high at this point. We have a carryover at 1.1, which the trade seems to be satisfied with. What should producers be doing on the long term for the crop that's going to be harvested and put in the bin this fall?
Holding it. I think your point about the crop size uncertainty is even more magnified by the fear of a frost scare. And in corn in particular, when you look at the wide basis we have right now, Todd, I think it makes sense that we're going to go back to what we've talked about all year long that has served us very, very well. I mean, it's cost some money out of pocket for producers, but it's also done a really good job of protecting them from much better gains than what they could have made if they would have made cash sales too prematurely. But we're sticking with the corn puts, either the DSO 08 or the March 09. And I've also, you know, talked a lot about with clients, and Chuck and Sherman have too at these last seminars, about getting forward contracts made for that May 09 or July 09. You can pick up 30 to 40 cents of carry. You can get probably about a 20-cent better basis than what you're dealing with in the fall basis. You can literally pick up about 50 extra cents by using the bins on farm. And all you need to do then, if you sell that, make sure you feel like you're going to have the crop, assume that you're going to have some frost so you don't oversell, and be ready to come in and buy a December call if you do see that the fear of frost come more and more a reality. But there's a lot to do in corn for forward selling because of the carry and because of the basis tightening up after fall. As for beans, it's the exact opposite. We've got unbelievably good basis now. It's really appreciated here in the last 2 weeks. If we continue this rally on dry weather, I think you need to be an aggressive seller in beans in terms of the 08 that you cannot store, and get started on some 09, because we feel like this acreage battle on the corn and beans is probably going to play out earlier rather than later. So there's a lot to do. I think in the final analysis, when I go home today, I don't want that $5.99 level in D's corn to be violated. I don't want that $13 level to be violated in no beans, because those are the two areas that break that trend line that we've just established this last 2 weeks. And we still have those fears in those outside markets still out there.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go today?
That's it. Just be safe on your trip.
We will. Thanks much, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike Zuzulo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us on the closing market report. That one happens each and every Friday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. And we'll talk with Chip Flory this evening and post that on Commodity Week to WILLAG.org after 6 o'clock tonight.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason, your host. Don't forget to listen to Commodity Week this weekend. We'll record that at 4:30 this afternoon and post it to our website at willag.org by 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. That's WILLAG.org. Pro Farmers Chip Flory will be our guest. He'll help us go through the complete set of numbers from ProFarmer. Here's a quick look at them. ProFarmer now says U.S. corn yield is estimated at 153.3 bushels to the acre, with a total corn production of 12.152 billion bushels. The national soybean average, according to ProFarmer, should be 39.95 bushels to the acre, with a total estimate for the crop size at 2.93 billion bushels. Chip Flory will be our guest on Commodity Week this weekend. You can hear it at willag.org. Anytime you'd like, just click on Commodity Week at willag.org. Now, speaking of the size of the corn crop, there are a whole bunch of reports from across Illinois about the corn ears being tipped back. U of I agronomist Emerson Nafziger addressed that issue in a special bulletin release Thursday of this week. First off, U of I agronomist Emerson Nafziger says the good news is that the Illinois corn crop has not crashed due to the dry weather, that at least as of the 20th of August. Development of the corn crop remains tied to GDD totals, or growing degree day totals. Much of the crop, he says, in the southern part of the state was planted late, so in many fields has accumulated only 2,000 or fewer GDDs since planting. That's similar to or less than accumulation since planting in the northern parts of Illinois. So the crop over much of the state of Illinois, he writes, needs 500 or more GDDs to bring it to maturity. And though the appearance of the corn crop is good to very good in most Illinois fields, and the pollination period was one of generally good water supplies and temperatures, Nafziger has started to get reports that ears in some fields are shorter than expected. He says the phenomenon appears to be widespread, and it may be more common in fields that were planted and that pollinated relatively early. From the reports, Nafziger surmises there may be more than one cause of shortened ears. The most widespread problem is that the ears are nosed back with unfilled cob tips. Cobs appear to be normal length. The outer end of the cob is without kernel remnants, indicating that fertilization of the tip kernels failed. The other symptom that appears to be much more hybrid-specific. It's called blunt ear syndrome, also known as beer can ear, and by a few other names. Like the nosed back ears, Nafziger says these ears have reduced kernel numbers per row, but normal numbers of rows of kernels. The main difference is that both the length of the kernel rows, the number of kernels per row, and the length of the cob are shorter than normal in these ears. So what's happening? Nafziger writes, while the early part of the 2008 growing season was characterized by cool, wet conditions and slow early growth of the corn crop, the conditions during pollination were very good, and the U of I agronomist says he did not anticipate kernel numbers would be low. When problems like nosed back and blunt ear occur, usually, he says, it's driven by insect or disease problems during the pollination period. When that's not the case, like this year, then the weather is blamed. And that's not so easy to do this year, says Nafziger. He goes on to write, from reports he's had, not all fields show this ear shortening, and he does not mean to raise a general alarm about an Illinois corn crop that is now forecast to yield 172 bushels to the acre, or the third highest on record. Nafziger points out that the August yield estimate was based on actual kernel counts made by USDA, leading him to believe that lowered kernel counts were included in those estimates. Most stands, he says, look very good, and it's possible that many producers turned up populations somewhat in 2008 in response to the high prices. And this, too, he says, would lessen the impact of lowered kernel numbers on average statewide yields. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us from Springfield today, where he's at the Illinois Grain and Feed Association. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
What's the talk among your peers there today?
Oh, you know, the key is just what Emerson Oscar was talking about. You know, we're trying to, one of the things is everybody is trying to budget space for this fall. How much space are we going to have? What's the crop size going to be? So that's always a question in back of our minds.
Emerson seems to think, I suppose, that given normal conditions the rest of the way out, that the 172 might be, if USDA is correct, right, and not change very much, despite some of the things that we've been hearing about these notched back ears and beer can ears and such. Are you short on space across the board in the grain elevator business, do you think, at this time?
We are going to be going into harvest pretty empty. You know, that's one of the good parts about not having a big corn carryover. Elevators are going to be moving their grain out, so we're going to be going in empty, so we'll have some room to put the crop away. Then it just becomes a case of transportation and logistics and knocking on wood and hoping for no big logistical disruptions.
And I suspect that the other thing that you are talking about a bit, and maybe you can tell me something about this, is risk management. And I mean, in terms of how you're working with finances and the banks and the volatility in the marketplace?
That's always a tremendous issue on trying to keep enough working capital out there, trying to keep a large enough credit line. Looks like we're going to be seeing a lot of new products coming down the line, risk management products in the next year to 2 years. I think that's going to be a big thing right now on trying to be able to cope with this environment.
Any preview on the risk management products?
I would hate to yet.
Okay, that's all right. So tell me about basis. We've been talking about the soybean basis tightening up sharply.
Basis has been interesting. You know, we're working on some harvest delays down in the south with rain down there. Normally you get into August and we start seeing that delta crop coming off with corn, and it's getting pushed back a little bit. There's been a couple holes this last week with some trains that were scheduled to go down south that are rolling back up north for another trip. So it's made for some real volatile basis numbers. You get in this transition. Plants need to have enough corn and enough soybeans to run to new crop, but they don't want any extra, especially at an inverse in soybeans.
And so what are your expectations then for the coming week?
Volatile.
How's
that for non-committal?
Volatile for you or volatile for the seller? Which one?
For everybody. You know, I think we're seeing real choppy, volatile board values. People are trying to fine-tune their needs or enough grain to cover their needs for the next 30 days or so and trying to get some kind of a handle on when we're going to be getting harvest. And, you know, it's going to be pushed back to 3 weeks from last year.
Any final word from you before I let you go for the day?
No, actually not.
Okay, well, I'll let you get back to your meeting there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's... Bruce Bostard, he's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on Friday afternoons. Don't forget, stay with us. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with climatologist Steve Hilberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Three former Urbana school administrators have made their first court appearances to answer to charges of failing to report complaints of child molestation. The complaints ultimately led to the arrest of former first-grade teacher John White, who's serving a 60-year prison sentence. Thomas Paine School Principal Janice Bradley, District 116 Human Resources Director Carmelita Thomas, and Superintendent Gene Amberg all face misdemeanor charges. They're accused of not promptly reporting parents' suspicions about White to state officials. All three administrators have since retired. Amberg's attorney contends that all three acted appropriately. A 6-year-old girl who was hit by a car in Danville last week has died. The Champaign County coroner says Anaya Dye was pronounced dead this morning. She was hit last Saturday on Voorhees Street as she was playing with friends. No arrests were made. The coroner says he won't conduct an autopsy, though an inquest may take place into the cause of the girl's death. The fallout has begun over the proposed closing of Pontiac Correctional Center next year. The uncertainty surrounding the future of the prison has prompted developers to pull out of a project that would have brought a hotel, home improvement warehouse, conference center, and restaurant to Pontiac. EM Properties President Gary Matthews says the closing of the prison wasn't the only hurdle facing the project. Governor Blagojevich wants to move 800 of Pontiac's 1,600 inmates to a new largely unused correctional center in northwest Illinois in Thompson. Friends of Indiana Senator Evan Bayh are anxiously awaiting word on who Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama will pick as his running mate. A spokesman for Bayh says the senator is spending part of the day at a tennis camp in Washington, D.C. for his 12-year-old twin sons. Urbana's annual Sweet Corn Festival this weekend will include a taste of a faraway museum. The Henry Ford Museum in the Detroit area is bringing its mobile virtual version of a tour of Ford's Rouge truck assembly plant. Sweet Corn Festival organizers say it's the first of a continuing effort to work with museums for exhibits. The festival's more traditional elements will be back, too, including 30,000 years of sweet corn. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, joins us from here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the rainfall that we did or did not have across the Midwest in the last 24 hours first.
Well, for the most part, it was pretty spotty. There were some areas that got half inch to an inch of rain. Actually, a couple areas in central and southern Missouri picked upwards of 4 inches of rain in the last 2 days. But that was pretty atypical of what went on. But the areas that benefited the most were really southwestern Illinois, from north of the St. Louis metro area down towards southern Illinois, picked up some 1-inch plus amounts. But overall, it has been pretty scattered. We had a quarter inch here in Champaign yesterday, but you go a little bit east of here where I live, and it barely was enough to wet the rain gauge. So that's the kind of situation it's been. We could see some more this afternoon and tonight, and then again tomorrow afternoon and evening as a front comes through. So we're hoping we get some halfway decent coverage with that, but the dynamics aren't there. The moisture's there, but a lot of the things that could really help things pop aren't.
And from Nebraska to Ohio, there are complaints that it's dry. Is there anything on the weather forecast for the coming week?
Not really. It looks like once this front comes through here, through Illinois on tomorrow night and early Sunday, high pressure, similar to what's been going on the last week or two, will be drifting over the Great Lakes and actually keeping us temperatures near normal, but comfortable weather with not much humidity and not much in the way of any kind of weather system to help trigger any widespread rainfall. The next opportunity after this weekend looks to be next weekend, when another front should help trigger some showers and thunderstorms. It doesn't look like Fay is going to be a factor in this in the weather picture here in the Midwest. Maybe the far southern portions of the region, south of the Ohio River, might pick up some Fay-related rain later in the weekend. But right now, it looks like that front will sort of keep Fay out of our area.
Dave Dickey, myself, a stable of analysts, will make our way to the Farm Progress Show Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Is the forecast you gave us pretty much what's going to happen near Des Moines and Boone, Iowa?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty nice out there for the next week. Maybe a better chance for rain toward Thursday out there, but right now it looks like the weather should be pretty decent across most of the region for most of the next week, with highs in the low 80s, maybe a little bit higher further to the west. Out near Des Moines might see the mid and upper 80s, but humidity at fairly comfortable levels and overnight lows generally in the 50s to low 60s, so pretty typical for August.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
Nope, we need some rain, but we'll hopefully pick some of that up here in the next week or so.
Thank you much.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, joins us from his offices here in Champaign County. Each and every Friday afternoon on the Closing Mark Report, don't forget to tune in if you have the opportunity for Commodity Week. Our guest this week is Chip Flory. That airs on our flagship station, WILL, at 11:30 a.m. Saturday mornings. WKEI out of Kewaunee, I believe, airs at 7:30. and WHOW out of Clinton at 8:30. That's Commodity Week. If you can't hear it on one of those radio stations, you can always visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.